نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ثم بعد.
At one stage, at one place in the Qur'an Hakim, Allah Ta'ala states, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is also Allah's order, and this is also nasiha from Allah. It's also Allah's karam, His grace. On any verse from the Qur'an Hakim, these three messages come out for a human being. That how much Allah's karam and fadl, His grace and blessings, that a person who's astray, Allah's given him nasiha. There's one advice that's given to a normal person. And one is a nasiha via, you could say, a speech or lecture where there's more effect. And then after a speech or conference, there's a nasiha of a wali Allah that has more effort, more impact. So there are different levels of nasiha. There are different levels of advice that from which direction and who is giving the nasiha. So this nasiha, this advice, when a person reads the Qur'an, then it's direct nasiha coming from Allah. So nobody can compete with this nasiha, this advice. It's pure rahmah, mercy upon mercy. But the difference is just this, that which heart accepts that nasiha, which heart accepts that advice, because Allah Ta'ala has put the capacity in the hearts. That rain falls down in all places. But which earth is it that allows that rain to fall and then it allows a flower to grow? So this is the real point, is that our heart, if it accepts that advice, and there's no bigger nasiha or message than the Qur'an. There's no greater fact than the Qur'an. There's no greater kalam than the Qur'an. There's no greater thing than the Qur'an that can explain to us in a unique style and manner. And if that doesn't affect us, then that human being, his heart is like a rock, a stone, that inside him nothing is penetrating him, just like the Qur'an Hakim. Yes, Allah has given the examples of stones, qasat qulubuhum, that the human being, his heart becomes so firm and rock solid, more rock solid than a stone. What's the sign of this? It's not that he has a heart attack, or some artery has become blocked, or he becomes ill. No. The hard heart, that is, that doesn't go towards listening to Allah's orders, doesn't want to turn back, doesn't understand that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, what is it? Why should I practice on this? Why should I accept this? In comparison to that, that all of the benefits of the world and the glamour of the world, all the circumstances of the world, he will suddenly submit to all of that. When any human being has this condition and feeling, then he should understand himself that this heart, qasat qulubhim, Allah says that it's very severe, hard heart. It is rock solid, your heart. Allah Ta'ala states that also the hearts, Allah has classified the hearts, there's very strong, rock solid. Although Allah says that the same earth which is barren, the same heart which is rock solid, and the same stones, they can also be the same, they can also be in a position, just like the rocks, the stones, it could be so tender and soft, then the same land Allah Ta'ala can allow the fountain to spring forth. Yes, the same stones, the same rocks, Allah Ta'ala says that the fountains, they gush forth, the water comes out. So Allah says the same stones and rocks, that when it has the fear of Allah, the heart, because Allah said three stages of the human being, of the qulub, is either like a rock solid, or then very soft, that like the fountains can gush from there. And third, so much khawf and fear comes, just like when a rock or stone falls from the mountain, same way then everything it submits towards Allah, accepts from Allah. So who's saying this? Allah is saying this. He is everyone's creator. Who is everybody's creator? Allah. Who is everybody's owner? Allah. The Malik, the Khalik. He is saying this. So if we don't listen to Allah, then that person, the poor man, if he's not going to listen to Allah, what can we do with that person? Which doctor should that person be sent to? Which tabib should that person be sent to? Which man could solve his issues? So immediately what he should do is that he should solve the problem of his heart. That why am I not improving? This person's listening and he's practicing, but I'm listening and I'm not. It's not affecting me. Ramadan, so many days have passed. I've heard so many speeches, lectures, I read Taraweeh, I do all worship. Why can't I remove the sins from my life? Why is my heart not improving? At least this much a person should think, isn't it? That why isn't there any positive change in my life? Because there's a problem embedded in my heart that Allah Ta'ala said that it's not affecting me. You don't understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala says, what does Allah Ta'ala says? La tufsidu fil ard, subhanallah. Allah has given advice here. Nasiha is coming. Who is Allah giving Nasiha to? To all of us. Just like this verse, I won't go, the Quran, this verse will fit everybody's circumstances. Everybody's circumstances. La tufsidu fil ardi. Do not commit the sins, Allah says. Do not, and we say the sins aren't mentioned anywhere. What sins? Yes. This is the style of the Quran of Allah's. So if, for example, Allah is saying that don't do something without saying that name, so Allah's given the mention of that clearly. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the effect is made that due to which reason the fasad is spread, Allah says, I'm telling you that direction, that don't commit the sins, because all fasad, all evil consequences originate from a sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whenever fasad is spread, whenever there's ignorance and vice is due to the sins, so Allah says, don't commit sins. Clear statement. Whenever you commit a sin, a wrong, that sin will never bring rahmah with it. It will never bring good news for you, that sin. It will never give you progress. Allah, our Rabb, is telling us this. Rather, what does that sin do? It spreads fasad, difficulties, distress, sorrow, permanent azab, punishment, permanent issues and problems. And it's not a quantity that will be a massive. Every sin has this conclusion. Every sin. Temporarily, a person might look at some benefit due to a sin. But in reality, when the consequence, the conclusion, the result of that sin becomes apparent, the effects of that sin, the difficulties of it, then a man realizes, oh, what's happened here? Then he remembers that at that time I did this sin. Sometimes it takes a long time to realize for a sin to nurture and develop, and then for that sin to get the effects to get born, then that fasad comes into me. So whenever an individual, there's wrong, distress, problems, difficulties, sicknesses come to him, we straight away give the blame to someone else or something else. But what's the reason? It's that individual's his own sins that create that. Or when they got a flu, or when they are caught a cold, or when they, this happened to me, if I didn't go, this wouldn't have happened, or if I went there, I got a flu, I got a cold. We say this, isn't it? We assign the blame. If only the person thought that, no, the real reason is what? That you have committed a sin due to which Allah Ta'ala has grabbed you. This is the punishment of your sins. Yes, so when a person is punished due to the sins, when there's a difficulty, then the medicines don't take effect on that person. Even the medicines leave giving him the positive impact. Medically, he gets upset. Professional medical gets upset. Sometimes, the effects of a sin are such, it's not Allah's punishment. What is this? This is the effects of the sins that give a person problems. We say, oh, magic, black magic, ghost, depression, mental anxiety. Wallahi, I'm telling you, the reason only is one, which is the Quran is telling us, is due to your sins. There's no depression. There's no sickness. There's no jinn. The jinn only comes there where the human being is committing the sins. But the ghost and the black magic, evil, all of this exorcism, all of this happens where sins are being committed. It will never come to where Allah's laws, a person's living his life in accordance to Allah's laws. Poverty may come, difficulties in life may come, problems may come, but big tragedies and challenges that I've just mentioned won't come. And what is that? That's Allah Ta'ala is elevating his darajat, Allah is testing him. We think this is azab, punishment. No, at that time, look at this, that you have difficulties, problems are afflicting me, and it's coming into my life. Then assess your life. Just assess your life straight away. That have I committed a sin? Pay attention on your life. If you say no, alhamdulillah, I've followed the laws and the principles. I haven't committed a sin. I can't see any... And then look on the other hand. If I haven't committed a sin, then this difficulty is coming. Then what's the second point? Subhanallah. Then what you need to consider is that Allah's rada, you will feel it, His pleasure. That this path that Allah selected for me is to elevate my status, because it's not a punishment. If I'd committed a crime, then this would have been a punishment. But I haven't committed a crime, so what is this? This is not a punishment. Rather, it's Allah's rahmah, mercy upon me, that He's given me this challenge. So this feeling, emotion, when due to a sin, your emotion changes. You don't, for example, if you don't sin, then you will persevere, you will bear the hardships. Whatever it is, if it's a sickness or an issue that Allah has given you, a challenge or difficulty, then you have no worries. But we are full of issues, thousands of problems in me. Then he thinks that my situation is going downhill and negative. Then don't try to cover yourself that I've not done no sin. This is not the case. Two things think, the Quran says, لا تفسدوا في الأرض. That in the world, when a facade has spread, what has it spread due to? Due to the sins, not due to any other reason. So Allah Ta'ala has given us nasiha, advice, that what is the matter here? That save yourself from the sins. Run away from the sins. If you want to live a great life in this world, planet Earth, if you want a satisfactory life, peace, contentment, eat and drink in peace, sleep in peace, wake up in peace, relaxation, smooth life, even if you haven't got no money, no wealth, and you're not running around, you're not looking and trying to grapple for money, flapping for money, don't do anything else. Just do one action. Wherever you are, wherever you're living, Allah says, that just rely on me, develop the fear of Allah, don't commit the sin. Allah says, wherever you are, I will open the doors of wealth and rizq for you. So in comparison to this, if you commit sins, then the whole world you will run around, scarpering around, try to do business and earn. In the end, you will not get nothing from that. That will spread fasad, your money. Your children will be disobedient. As I said to you, the sin, if you commit a sin today, after 40 years, the effects of that sin, they bear fruit. After 40 years, the sin doesn't end. The sin is like a spider. You can't crush it. And it develops inside you, the sin. It grows and it spreads. That's why when you hear, oh Allah, the sins that I've committed, oh, please forgive them. And the sins that I will do in the future, please forgive them. And the sins I've forgotten, please forgive them. Those I can't remember, Allah, forgive me. Those sins I've forgotten, forgive me. For which reason? Because that sin is present that you committed. You have to ask for forgiveness for that as well. Why? Because it will take effect. It will have the consequences for sure. If you did a sin long time ago, for example, a human being, you dishonored a person, you disrespected a wali Allah, for example. Or you rejected somebody, you dishonored somebody, and you forgot that. What happens after that? Subhanallah. From such a place and a time, the effects, you'll grow up and you'll get older. Your children will grow up and they'll grab your neck. And you'll say, Father, what's wrong with you? I brought you up, but you forgot what happened. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget anything, that He dishonored and disrespected a person many years back. Today, the result is such that today you are being dishonored and disrespected yourself. Sin is a very big, big fact and reality. That's why Allah has given us the entirety of Ramadan, that don't commit the sins. Purposely don't commit sins. Don't do your sin knowingly. Run away from sins. Run away from sins like you run away from a snake and a scorpion. Lying, backbiting, greed, haram, lifestyle, and breaking Allah's laws and rejecting the sunnah. All of these are sins. These are all sins. And you get big-headed after sinning. Oh, nothing's happened to me. I'm fine. Nothing's affected me. If someone starts to drink alcohol first, he'll be scared. He'll be doing in secrecy. Is anyone watching me? And he'll go into a pub and he'll start sipping on the alcohol. Then he'll become brave. Then all in front of people start drinking alcohol. No problem. No whatsoever. I can do what I want. Always like this, a person gets emboldened and runs towards the sins more. So this is fasad-e azim, high level fasad and issues and problems. High level. Awwal, initially, what should be the feeling inside a human being? That the sin at the root, I'm not going to implement it. I'm not going to disobey. Allah. And remember, always disobeying, that when you think you get prosperity after disobeying Allah, always remember this, this is a very temporary thing, a very big trap and shaitan's net that you're stuck in. Who makes us get trapped? Who? Who enables us to, who invites us to sin? Whose duty is this? This task being given to, that he has taken this duty himself. He sought permission himself. The wretched shaitan, Allah, give me permission on the, in the world I want to spoil the human being. So he's got the power now. Shaitan's got the permission from Allah. Yes? So he enables and influences people to commit sins. Shaitan. And he has so much power and strength that in our body, in our blood, he flows like the blood. He controls human being, his mind, his hands, his stomach. He controls that human being. He has the permission. He sought permission from Allah. So if he's been given so much strength and permission by Allah, that whilst you're sitting, won't he invite you towards haram? Won't he make you lie? Won't he make you suddenly become angry? Shaitan? Immediately he'll make you do these things. Within a second, you're talking nicely and it'll make you fight amongst each other. Why? Because it's not just one trick he's got under his sleeve. Yes, he can. He knows how to make a person angry. He does this. He spreads facade because he just wants facade all around the world. And for facade, there's no other action. He won't make you read Quran. He won't make you learn hifz of Quran, will he? Shaitan. He won't make you do pious actions. What does shaitan do? He creates and spreads facade. Tragedies, quarrels, disputes. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, he was a prophet of his time, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. And shaitan, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam saw shaitan. Allah gave him that vision that, hey, look at shaitan. Look at shaitan. And he said, come here shaitan, are you shaitan? He said, yes, I'm shaitan. And you are the prophet of Allah, and I'm shaitan. Is there anything I can do to serve you? Shaitan said. He said, tell me, will you tell me something? He said, yes, I'll tell you. He said, you don't speak the truth. But he said, yes, I'll give you the honest answer, shaitan said. He said, what's this you've got? He's got these all big nets that I trap people in. And this is the reality, the truth. He spreads out the nets and he traps the people. Big, he knows this scholar I'm going to trap like this. This Qadi I'm going to trap like this. This Sufi I'm going to trap him like this. This person who does dhikr, I'm going to trap him with this net. This is Peer Sahib, Sheikh, I'll trap him. This is an Amil, I'll trap him like this. This is a shop owner, I'll trap him like this. Every man in the world, he's got unique separate nets in which he traps the people, shaitan. He's got the full cabinet, he's got a whole business that he runs, shaitan. He's not just on his own, he's got a full enterprise. Every status of person, doesn't matter how pious and righteous a person is, doesn't matter how big an insan he is, but for him, shaitan is, he's a small prey for shaitan. And he calls out, shouts out, but shaitan does his work inside that person. Yes, he gives him envy, pride. For example, he's a big person, a speaker. He sat and he starts speaking. And then inside, shaitan, some people are praising him for his speech. He said a few statements in his speech. But then he goes into pride and he goes towards Jahannam. So you have to be very careful in life. So Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam said, what's this you've got? He said, the nets, big nets. He said, I've got shaitan. I've got many nets. I trap the people. He said, okay, you tell me then. That what is the net you have that's most successful? What a big question, eh? He said, you are the prophet asking me, so I can't hide it from you, the facts, I'll tell you the truth. Shaitan said, what's your biggest net, the biggest trap that traps the most people? Yes, that some people do ibadah, worship, and insan has been created for worship, so shaitan said, I've got a net, a trap that stops him from doing ibadah. Listen to this, what he said. Shaitan said, we do ibadah, don't we? Worship, salah, fasting, hajj, our worship, recitation, our wazifas, our zikr. We do all of this, don't we? So what is it that shaitan grabs hold of? And he gave the answer. He said, I've got a net, a trap that I control the human being. He was the prophet, isn't he? Hayya alayhi salam. So he said, what is that trap you've got for most people that you trap them? Shaitan. He said, that what happened with you in the night? Shaitan said to Hayya alayhi salam. He said, what? What happened in the night? What is that? What trap did you have? He said that what I do is I tell him to eat more food, the human being. I allow him to eat more food. I put taste in the biryani for him. And the shami kebab, so tasty, I present in front of him that he keeps on eating them. And such a sherbet and drink I put in front of him that he doesn't step back. Rather, his stomach's already full, but he keeps on eating. Shaitan said. He said, when the human being When he runs towards his stomach and he fills it, then automatically there's such a system of laziness comes into him. For example, what do? Taraweeh. We break the fast with samosas. A few things. Oh, I don't want to be lazy in Taraweeh. Especially the Hazrat, those who lead the Taraweehs or lead the prayer. The Huffaz. They just have a light meal after iftari because then we'll eat with ease afterwards. Yes, but be careful because if you are lazy at that time, then your salah in the morning will go. Yes, your tahajjud in the night will go. So on this, if he controls himself, any individual, says, shaitan said, well, his trap is his net. Whenever he spreads his net, when the food comes, then immediately be careful, this food, how, in which method and sequence shall I eat this food? Yes, one portion for water, one third for the air in your stomach, and one third you eat the food. Three thirds, say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So one chapati, break it into three parts. One bread into three parts. You should have some breath, a third for your breath, a third for some liquid water. You can drink tea afterwards, and a third so that your stomach can feel that yes, some food is coming to me as well. Three thirds, three portions. So what a big disease you'll be saved from. In your deeds, always what happens is that what do? Oh, I'm lazy, I couldn't do this. This is your day that goes to waste. You've missed that day because of laziness. Always 12 o'clock now. You know the sheet system I've given to you? All of this makes a person realize that what position am I in and which direction am I going in. They come to me when they submit to the sheets. So I scan the whole sheet. Assessment. How many sicknesses is he involved in? What conditions, circumstances, which corner of Jahannam is he stood upon? And how much desperate is he in need to go towards paradise? I haven't made this system for nothing. I'm not mad. I'm not silly. I've developed this sheet system. This is hard work of Allah with this fadl that I'm doing hard work. Making effort. Yeah, otherwise we have no need for this, we say. We have no need for this assessment. Your father's not doing it. Your grandfather, is he not doing it? Your uncle, is he not doing it? Your mother's not doing it. Who is it? Allahu Akbar. Who has no relationship with you, no blood relationship, nothing, no relationship with you. Because the fikr akhirah, for the sake of the hereafter, he's worried about you. SubhanAllah. Very, very simple. You know, I used to laugh when a person said to me, that you are like, instead of my father, you're like my father. You're like my father. The father, how can he compare to the sheikh? The sheikh, that he is elevating his sheikh instead of his father. What does he know? That the father, that... You know, I consider you like my father. You are my father, and he's proud that he's my father. And he says it as well to people. He's like my father. He's my father. That if you are actually disrespecting your sheikh, silly person, you are doing the action, the sheikh is doing the action, that the work that your father can carry out. Why are you competing your sheikh with your father? He's doing the work of the Nabi, the sheikh, the prophet. Yes, harisun, raufur rahim. Allah Ta'ala said about his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's haris, he's worried about you. Raufur rahim is merciful, compassionate, that how can I save my ummah from the hellfire? And you're saying, I'm your father, and you are instead of my father, you're like my father. He's saying that was his standard, the poor man, he didn't understand the status of the teacher. That the person who's taking you out of Jahannam, and who's the person who fills your stomach? There's two differences, yeah? Understand? So Allah has given status to the parents, very great status, the greatest status of the parents, but that status is the highest, the greatest, spiritually, which is saving you from the fire of hell, which is giving you nasiha, advice, making you explain to you, make you understand, no greed that he has. And may Allah Ta'ala put any greed in between. So when he tells you things, explains to you, makes you afraid, then his shafqat, affection and love is awake at that time. SubhanAllah. And don't look at him in the form of a father, like a father. He, even if he tells you of his beloved, even when he's joking with you, it's a beloved man. The teacher. Yes, that for example, you will see, if you don't have a connection with the sheikh, then you can observe this. So this, and if you have the connection, you can observe it as well. So a beautiful current Allah has injected into the teacher, because he improves the creation, makhluk. That's why every man, he starts to get drawn near to that person. He himself detaches himself from everything else, that he starts to prefer and like his teacher the most. And then everyone's upset with him, though he doesn't care about his father, his mother, he doesn't care about his family. Why? Because one thing Allah has instilled into him, that he has got love for Allah now. Allah's put His love into the heart of that person. So he won't run back towards the dunya that you can make him to do wrong. Father is father, but due to his father, he won't do a sin. His mother is mother, but due to his mother, he won't do the sin because he's learnt. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So it's a unique relationship. You look at this, that a shaykh and a murid, if they don't have a relationship, then he's not the murid, he's not the student, if he's not strengthened that. He's just that like the Sahaba said to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, my millions of mothers and fathers are sacrificed upon you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, and you say that you like my father. He says, millions of mothers and fathers, O Prophet of Allah, my parents are sacrificed upon you, please order. And if you don't get to that point, you're not a murid, you're not the student. Why is he not? If he's not a murid, then he's not getting any benefit from the teacher, from the sheikh. So this is tasawwuf class. I'm not teaching you jurisprudence while we're sat here. I'm not sat to teach you masleh, masala. I'm teaching you tasawwuf. Tasawwuf. These gatherings, fortunate are those people who get affected by them, and it's fortunate if you come there. Not every person gets these. Not every person gets these. So this is how much love a student gets for the teachers. How great is it? He says, Hazrat, I don't feel like it. I've got Umrah program. I don't feel like going. Why? Because my heart is, I'm here. I want to stay here. How can I leave your majlis and go? SubhanAllah. This is an attraction, a draw. Allah's love is created such inside the person. Say SubhanAllah. So inshallah, do you understand this now? From your mouth, have you arrived to this station? From your mouth it will come inshallah. Thousands of my parents, may they be sacrificed upon you. Yes, that all I give everything. We said this before, the Sahaba used to say this before, then they speak. And it wasn't a drama, it wasn't fake. They physically proved this. As Abu Bakr was his son, Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu. One day they sat in the masjid, both father and son. And the son said, Father, you know in that battle, and you came under the shadow of my sword, but I thought, oh, because he was a disbeliever at that time, Abu Bakr Siddiq was a Muslim, and his son said, you came under my sword, but I thought for a while that you were my father. I said, no, I'll spare my father. Abu Bakr said, and subhanAllah, the tears would come from his eyes. He said, Abdurrahman, look what you've just said. You left me, isn't it? But if you under my sword, at that time I would not have spared you. Because you are disrespectful of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are disrespectful to the Prophet. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. This is the love, the tariqah, Allah Ta'ala is required to get to Allah Ta'ala. Not just empty or wasila. If you take the wasila, then take the wasila strong, firm. Grab hold of the teacher. No wasawis, no evil thoughts, no evil whispers, no doubts. Complete confidence in the student, in the teacher. Complete confidence. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. You don't understand? SubhanAllah. So shaitan says, لا تفسدوا له. Allah says that I fill the stomach of that human being, all his wazifa, worship, everything goes. When I spoke about the sheet system, we are lazy in the sheet system. What's the laziness? You're eating too much food. Yes, you're forcing yourself to eat pakoras, you're forcing yourself to eat fruit, forcefully drinking mugs of tea and biscuits. You have no need at that time to eat. It's just sickness. Sickness. One is filling the stomach, one is just the taste. One is chaska, you know, just taking the enjoyment. You know what he says, after eating sweet dish, that's just for the sake of it, enjoyment. When you've eaten the food, it's filled your stomach, hasn't it? Then after that, what's the sweet dish? Just for enjoyment. It's just an enjoyment, a lust. Yeah, he said, so Hazrat Ya Alayhi said, what is it you do? And Shaitan said, I fill the stomachs of the human beings, I force them to, then I turn him upside down. La tufsidu. I read this verse in front of you, that don't commit the sin. So the root of sins is this. The root of sins. Then fasad and evil spreads. Fasad and evil emanate from the full stomach. Fasad fid deen. Fasad fid deen. Then the deen, his religion is spoiled due to the sins. His deen ends. His deen ends. Hazrat Abdullah bin Hanzala radiallahu anhu. And shaitan knocked into him once. I'll tell you a few events of shaitan today. That how he enables people to sin. So with the big people, then he does big traps. Because he knows how to trap even the bigger pious people. He said, I really like you. He said, I'm Iblis, Shaitan. He said, what are you doing here wandering around? He said, I just wanted to meet you. You are good. Some of your actions I really like. That he was a pious, righteous person. Yes, he did a lot of ibadah. But he used to remember before tasbih, reading, praying to Allah, doing sajda to Allah. Sometimes he'd start looking at those things and liking them. He said, oh, I'm such a wretched person. I made a big mistake that this man's doing a good thing now. So Abdullah bin Hanzala, he said to him, that I liked what you're doing. Your action. So I came to you. I thought that let me meet you. Who's saying this? Shaitan, because he was aware where he came from, that he was pious once upon a time, isn't it? He wasn't Shaykhul Hadith. He was Shaitan himself. And he's saying to Abdullah bin Hanzala, the Hazrat, I've come and I came to meet you. He said, stop talking rubbish, get away from it. He said, is there anything you want from me? He said, that for the sake of Allah, get out of it. He said, listen to me, at least Shaitan said. He said, I know I'm bad, but sometimes I do say good things. He said, okay, what is it you want to say? Shaitan, tell me something good then. He said that, look, you know what is my task? What is my duty? What is the permission I sought from Allah? And I'm working hard daily, all the time. I've got tricks and traps and cunningness. You can't recognize me. Shall I tell you something? Shaitan said. He said that how I make human beings get trapped and fail. And he said, maybe he'll say something good. Okay, tell me what is it you do. Then he said, think again. He said, let me look in my kitab. Is he talking rubbish or is he really saying the truth, what he's about to say? Because he was a prophet, wasn't he? He was Sahabi, wasn't he? Sahabi, companion. He said, Shaitan, that look, be careful of one thing always, Shaitan said. At that time, I create facade, strong evil in the world. 99% of facade evil in the world are spread due to this principle. What is that? He said, Shaitan said, that when I make a person angry, then at that time, be careful when you feel angry. SubhanAllah. Allah's Nabi sells him so many hadith on this topic. Anger, the whole Bukhari, Sharif, Sahih Bukhari, so many hadith on anger, the effects of anger. Anger. Shaitan, you know, wretched shaitan, when he injects anger into a person, divorces emanate, arguments, people run away, mal, they consume people's wealth, they murder people out of anger. All decisions are based on angry decisions. All negative decisions are based on anger. Just like someone gives divorce to somebody. Yes, after divorce, when that injection of anger dies down, when the effects of anger die down, when his brains come into being, the anger is such an injection, it overwhelms the brain and the mind of a person. It's an injection, anger. While he's sitting, injection of anger, then he overwhelms the brain. He doesn't understand, he becomes blind with anger, and his mouth, eyes are glaring, steam's coming out of his ears and his eyes and his mouth. People think, what's happened to him? Soon as the anger comes, anger. Why? Suddenly I came to the masjid, I prayed salah, left the masjid, and I saw the same masjid. Allahu Akbar. I hadn't seen anger like this before. Four men are grabbing him. Whoever's grabbing him, he's beating them, punching them. Then he fights another person. So much of fire spread in this masjid while we're looking at it. The scene. Zakir Masjid, where we go. The reason was there was a janazah that had come downstairs. And that poor person, he said that he took put the shoes on and went a bit further. He said that the boundary of the masjid that started it, don't wear your shoes. And he took him back. Suddenly injected the anger of Shaitan in him. Shaitan, why did you stop me wearing the shoes? He said, I'm not prohibiting you. I'm just saying this is a masjid. In the masjid, you shouldn't have the shoes. Who are you to tell me? That's it. The fight started and they quarrelly jumped on him. And the other person, then he punches left and right. And he made another person angry. He became angry. And I was standing in the corner, I said, what is this about to take place? Drama, believe me, that approximately 15 men joined into that fight. 15! It was a weird, like, battle taking place. The masjid's inside the masjid's doors. My brothers, very bad thing is anger. The houses are destroyed, homes are destroyed, families, offspring is destroyed, children, hate is created in them. When the mother, father, they fight, then the children become enemies of each other. Quarrel. Why? Because they've learnt. لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Allah says, where does fasad start from? May Allah save us. It starts from anger. And who creates anger? Who creates anger? Do you understand the meaning? Who gives anger? Shaitan invites towards anger. He creates the anger, he throws the net out, he spreads the net out wide. So two things we understand, Shaitan is telling us. Number one is anger, and then the hadith of anger, how to control the anger, drink water, sit down, get out of that place, leave that place suddenly. Then he'll bring you back. Say, no, run from there. Open the doors and run out of the house. 15 minutes, sit down, take a cool deep breath, and inshallah you'll calm down. And then come back and ask for forgiveness. Because you've grabbed the sunnah solution. Sunnah remedy. Wahid, one cure for the human being that we can defeat shaitan is what? Sunnah. Sunnah practice. Shall I tell you my event, one example of mine? I'll tell you a personal story of my own. Because I have one mission, one objective, and broken down mission that I've got. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnahs, let's revive them, make them alive. And the shaitan doesn't like that. He can't take it. Shaitan can't take it. That this man, how shall I make him go down? Shaitan thinks. So one story that happened to me, I'll share that with you. One story. You know, Randall Street Masjid, I used to pray there, Salat. And until now, I remember that scene, I'm amazed. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala, when I do such actions, Allah shows these events to increase the taqwa. So more strength of iman comes, so I can work harder on people that don't do these things, otherwise you'll be destroyed. So this is not piety, I'm not a wali Allah that I'm showing you my kashf and vision. No, I'm just sharing this story with you that Allah Ta'ala sometimes to the human beings, He shows things to strengthen their iman so that their work of the deen improves and progresses with yaqeen. He can do more work with yaqeen. Because then Allah Ta'ala allows that person to make shaitan weak. So, what happened? What did I see? We used to pray, so, you know, like people are going, they're going into the masjid, and I saw a man. And after that, in that libas, I started to dislike that libas. When I saw shaitan in that libas, I disliked. Let me tell you what was that dress code that he was wearing. You know, you see the Patani topis, like the round top they have, the curved effect on the top. You know, Patani topi people wear. I really disliked that topi after that, because he was wearing that topi that day. You know, the topi is like in the warm climate, the cold environment, you know, Patani topi they call it. He was wearing that. And shalwar kameez he was wearing, normal shalwar kameez, and small trimmed beard, short beard, because obviously he wasn't going to practice the sunnah. He came to destroy the sunnah, isn't it? So he had a very short trimmed beard that he'd kept, that we call a beard nowadays, which is not a beard. It is not a beard. And the actions he was doing that I saw, Allah Ta'ala showed this to me, is that the people who were coming to pray, they're in front of me, the namazis, locals, he was stopping them from praying salah. That was his first action that I saw. And his ajeeb, weird style of stopping the people, he had so much power that from one hand he was dragging 10 people at a time out of the door of the masjid. Some would, he would hit and they'd go to the back. He'd do an action, they'd go to the back, to the back. I was amazed and surprised. Who is this man? So much power. Is he a jinn, a ghost? What is he? How is he doing this? I saw. First of all, within 15 minutes, he spread the evil, the facade in the masjid. And quite a few people went to the back or out of the masjid. When it was my turn to go into the masjid, to get inside, I saw this drama unfold. I thought, shall I get in khair? I put a trick as well. I implemented a trick. And the trick I did, and I played a trick, and I quickly went into the masjid. Allah. So then I saw the scene inside. The Mulana is teaching dars, and the Mulana of the masjid, then Randall Street Masjid, where I used to go. And there then, some people are sitting. Then he jumped onto them. Actually, he was following me. He was following me. And he jumped into that gathering. Anyway. So because the Quran was open, they were reading the Quran, so his strength and his plan couldn't take effect there. He tried his hardest, but his plan couldn't work there. I saw that scene. Then after that, he left that gathering. And then when I was coming back home, so now what I'm telling you about, one thing, what did I tell you? Shaitan, when he grabs people, what was it he had first? Don't forget the lesson. What does he do? Two things I told you before I told you this event, this story. One is the anger that comes to a person. And the first thing was what? Food. He fills the stomach. Never eat to your fill. Be careful. Never fill the stomach. Okay? Because then he will destroy your worship, wazayif, and the burping after burping. So there are two things. Don't eat to your fill. Don't be angry. And the third thing that I saw, you have to be safe from this and really save yourself from this. If you don't save yourself from this, then you'll never come out of the trap of shaitan. This is a high class learning, I'm telling you. High class learning. So then I was coming back now, returning, and he was after me. He was after me. And I couldn't recognize up to now he was shaitan. I didn't know that. I didn't have the information that came to me that he's shaitan up to then. So in front of us, we have an alleyway near our homes. We have the streets and we have the alleyway, like a driveway. And there, then there's our house, the front door where we enter. So then, that what the mistake that Allah enabled me to practice, the mistake that I was distressed or maybe not feeling good, never make that mistake yourself. I saw that scene, the consequence of that error, you could say. So in the harash, I was a bit distressed. Who is this? He's running after me. What does he want to do? And he was following me fast. He had a car and he parked his car in front of my home and he's running towards me. So quickly I put the key in the door, the mistake I'd made at that time, which I was in a rush. This was his job, to make me rush. Then I forgot to recite the dua, sunnah dua, when you go into the house, bismillah, when you recite the dua, go into the house. You know the dua that when you enter into the home. Allahumma inni asaluka khayra al-mawliji wa khayra al-makhriji, bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala rabbina tawakkalna. I missed that dua. As soon as I looked, I saw suddenly before me, he entered into the house. And I went into the house where, you know, where we take the shoes off the porch. Then we have the entrance, you know, the staircase there. And then after that, we have the door to go inside. So the stairs to the porch, then going in. So he came into the where the porch area, the entrance porch, you could say. And there, the door ahead of him was shut, the second door. So I was stopping him going in and he didn't want to stop. He wanted to go. So me and him started to physically fight. Then I understood his shaitan because he made me forget that dua. So that what was shown to me here, this is a hadith, isn't it? That when a human being doesn't read this dua and go in the house, then what happens is the shayateen and jinnat, they enter into his home with him. Then they eat with him. Then they sit with him. Then they drink with him. Then with him, with his wife in the night when he's busy, they also are occupied with him at that time. Then the children that are born, they are like the workers of shaitan. Shaitaniyat effects are with him. This is the words of hadith. So sunnah is not an easy thing. If you leave it, it's a big protection Allah has given to us. What is that? From shaitan. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnahs are the protection from shaitan. One sunnah that I left at that time and shaitan came inside and he tried to control. So quite a long time, me and him, we were fighting. Eventually it happened that what thing was useful to destroy shaitan, that weapon, I took it out and I used it and I started my dhikr khafi, internal dhikr. As soon as I started dhikr, then shaitan ran to the exit door and he went back. And he started to shock, he started shaking. You know, like a person, you know when he has a sudden pain, like an electric shock. I said, ooh, I can't. Then I did more dhikr. Then he shook more. Then I went to Maraqba, did lots of dhikr. Then I saw he ran away, got rid of him. Subhanallah. So what's the sabak, the lesson? After a while I sat down thinking, Subhanallah, that for us, there are great gifts, that when you go in the house, read this dua, when you sleep, read this dua, when you eat, do this dua. When you get up after eating, do this dua. Then wash your hands. Then come out and do this dua. Then first foot do like this. Second foot like this. When you wear shoes, read this dua. This is a whole life. This is deen. Deen. Religion. Without the Holy Prophet, there's no path, there's no route. As the Sadi said, how can it be that you are living a life without Sharia, without the Holy Prophet's lifestyle, and you saying that barakat are coming in Ramadan? That you want thawab and reward in fasting? 15 times you read the Quran over, you want a high level status? And your life is against the sunnah? Your libas is in sunnah, your appearance, your face, your nothing, you have no feeling. Awareness that today all the things I've done are against the sunnah. Like I wear my shoes wrong, I didn't go in the house properly, I didn't go in the masjid properly. Every single tariqah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, He's given us a role model for our lives. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنًا. That every single thing you do in your life, you have to imitate him. Something Bukhari Sharif, something Imam Malik Muwatta, some in other hadith book. All these kitabs Allah spread out, Tirmidhi Sharif in Ahmad, and all the kitabs Allah has described the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't learn from this book, from this kitab, every imam and the imam of hadith, he had a different style, different way of research. Somebody was given the emphasis of raful yadain. Somebody said, loudly. All of the sunnahs of the Holy Prophet, Allah Ta'ala kept them alive. And our job is, and we dispute, this imam said this, this, that, we argue, quarrel. Every imam, Allah Ta'ala gave him a focus and attention and emphasis, and he presented that from his findings. Imam Abu Hanifa, his student, Imam Muhammad, and he is doing something different, and he follows and revives another son of the Holy Prophet, that his sheikh did not say himself. So there's a difference of opinion, fiqh, jurisprudence. Is this the case or no? Yes, so what is this? This is not a quarrel, argument. This is love that Allah Ta'ala is spreading out. What? That Allah Ta'ala is every adha, every action. He wanted to spread every sunnah. That whatever action he gave to the ummah, however he did it, wherever he did it, however he did it, when he did it, he raised his finger, then the finger will be raised till Qiyamah. Because that opportunity, that time, my Nabi did this. Either he spoke like this while he was speaking or reading or praying, he raised the finger. It came in hadith. Allah Ta'ala, on that opportunity, that day, 1400 years ago, now it comes in the hadith, that when he was speaking to somebody, the Prophet raised his finger, it becomes deen, religion for us. It becomes deen. Why? Why did Allah protect this? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he's walking once. And he walked past a tree. And the whole Jama'ah, congregation, Sahaba. And he was a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has this title. He came back. And the Sahaba, they look back. Why has he stopped? Why has he gone back? Abdullah bin Umar. And why he went to the tree and he rubbed his body on the tree and then he carried on the journey. They said, Hazrat, what's this you've done? Why did you go back? He said, nothing. He said, what did you do here with the tree? He said, I fulfilled the sunnah. Once he said, on a journey, the Holy Prophet was traveling with him and the Prophet blessed body touched this tree. So I thought, may I not leave this sunnah, discard this sunnah. So I went back and I rubbed my body on the tree to fulfill the sunnah. Subhanallah. What was this? This was caution of the deen that no time of my life should pass, no breath of my life should pass without the sunnah. We lived our life mountains of years and no sunnah. This is the reason why today there's evil spread fasad in the world today in our ummah. Fasad is one root cause of the fasad. One root cause. That shaitan has taken us far from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. He's put it down in our lives. Why don't you wear imam a turban? I'm ashamed. Why don't you wear dhoti? I'm ashamed. Wear it, go shopping, wear the dhoti. This is the labas of your Nabi, your Prophet. Subhanallah. When you are ashamed of this, then your deen, your religion is weak. La yumlu hadakum. The Holy Prophet said, La yukum ahadakum. Hatta alayhi. Mi waladi wa waladi wa nasir me. Until I'm not beloved to you, then who? Your mother, father, children, all of creation, mankind, then your deen is not complete. If my love is not overwhelming, all of that. Allah's Prophet says, when you are ashamed of his sunnah, you're afraid, scared, you think it's difficulty, you're sweating your forehead, think my iman inside is nothing. Nothing. The iman does not equal prostrations. Iman doesn't equal khatam. Iman equals following the sunnah. Laha yukun wa waladi wa baladi wa nasi ajma'een. Yes. Allah's Nabi Sallam said this. This is the deen that the Quran is telling us. The shaitan says that he comes to finish this sunnah. Shaitan. So do you understand these points now? That Allah is saying in the Quran, La tufsidu fil ardi fasad. Why is it created? Due to the sins. And who makes us do the sins? Who makes us do the sins? Shaitan. And shaitan, I've told you his three tricks. The final verse comes. What? So Allah Ta'ala says at the end of this sin, Allah is advising. So now you've learnt that shaitan, how he makes you do the sin, what's his tricks? What? Ooh! Allah says, call out to Allah and do the dhikr of Allah in abundance. So first is the sickness, then comes the cure. This is the tariqah of the Quran. Allah first mentions the sicknesses, the diseases, then the cures. Allah says, this is your sickness. No one say from this, this is heaven, I'm this country, that country is too hard, we can't do this. Wherever you are, wherever there's evil or sins and sunnahs are being discarded and religion, practice without religion is spread and fahash, immodesty is spread. Common, regular, that we call ourselves so-called Islamic countries where all of these fasad are spreading. There's one reason for spreading these sins. The shaitan has grabbed them, overwhelmed them, and he's influencing them. So the cure that Allah Ta'ala has given, they're not doing the wadu, do the dhikr of Allah in abundance. This Sahih Hadith, have you not heard this? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, shall I not tell you such an action? That in your eye, the eyes of your Rabb is very pure, and this action will elevate your status so many times over. Tell me, this action is pious, pure in the eyes of your Lord. It will elevate your status. Even if you spend charity more than gold and silver than the mountain, better than that. If you do sadaqah, better than that. And if you're clashing with a person against you, and you are clashing with him and the sword breaks, even greater than that. In that without this action, all of your other actions are a waste if you don't have this action, the root. And what is that? قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ May our father and mother and parents be sacrificed upon you. What action are you talking about? Please tell us, we'll do this. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ Rasulullah said, do the dhikr of Allah. Why? Because dhikr of Allah prevents you from fasad. How will it take you away from fasad? Because shaitan, I tell you my own experiences. Shaitan has tricks and traps. He has just one trick. Dhikrullah. When you make shaitan weak, then you will be weak in sins. When you are weak in sins, then the fasad and the dunya will end. The fighting in your home will end. And smiles will come on your face. You will speak to your children with respect. In your house, the quarrels and fighting will disappear. You'll have affection for your friends. You'll overlook people's negatives. If someone's angry, you say, oh, no problem. No problem. Doesn't matter if somebody's dishonoring you, disrespecting you. You will mend the relations and connect people. Why? This happens when you learn to control shaitan. No. Why should I do dhikr? I don't need to do dhikr. I'm this, I'm that. I've reached, I'm pious. Subhanallah. And then you, those people get stuck the most who are proud. Allah, shaitan puts them in ghurur. Wadu khawfun taman. Allah says two things here. First, what does Allah say? Allah's given the cure. That Allah's given the condition for the cure. How should you do dhikr? The Allah's given the condition for dhikr. Khawf and tama. What is khawf? Fear. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Khawf, there are many types of fear, like I said yesterday. Fear of food, no bread. Fear of hunger. Fear of the electricity bill. Fear of making a house. Saving up money, fear. Running a shop, fear. These are all fears. Fears. And where do these fears take a person? To Jahannam. One fear, which is the most beloved fear. And about that, when you do dhikr Allah, then you should have this fear. And what is that? That I'm doing dhikr for this reason. That Allah, I don't want you to be unhappy with me for any reason. Say subhanAllah. That Allah, I'm doing your remembrance, Allah, your dhikr. I don't want you to be unhappy with me. The whole world may go from me, but Allah, my Mawla, don't be unhappy with me. And you have this fear that you don't want Allah to be displeased with you. When this fear develops in you that I don't want my Rabb to be displeased with me, then it will break all your actions, your life that cause Allah's displeasure, and you won't go near to them. Thinking this, you should do dhikr. Who's telling us this? Who? Mulana Sahib? No, Allah is telling us this. Allah is telling us this. Sit in dhikr. Definitely they can sit in dhikr. But the benefit of dhikr will come this way. Don't do dhikr for this reason. I'll get this benefit. I'll become pious. Wali Allah. I'll get khalafat. I'll run khankas. I'll do dhikr of Allah. People run after me. I'll become peer sahib, hazrat sahib. I'll do this and that. This injection. These are the injections of who? Who gives you these injections with amal? Shaitan. I'll become alim, scholar. After become alim, injection will be poor. I'll become a scholar. Then I'll give speeches. Then I'll lead Jummah. Then I'll tell people. Then I'll give nasiha. Then I'll do this. People run after me, recognize me. Who's given this injection? Who? Who? Why did Allah make you alim? For this reason, that you should have the khashiyat, the desire in you, deep rooted. Innama. What is that verse? Innama. What is that verse? Innama yakhsha. Allah says. Subhanallah. That if you want to see those who have the most fear of Allah, because they are the deputies of the Prophet, the ulama, respected scholars. If you want to see the most of all, then you want to seek the fear, khashiyat, then you'll find in who? In the ulama, the scholars. So the alim is that person. He, not the one who reads Bukhari, not the one who reads Tirmidhi Sharif, not the one who teaches Ahmad. The alim is he who has the khashiyat, the fear inside him. Khawf of Allah inside, I won't do this action. And we say do, I'll say do, it's okay, interest is permissible, this action is permissible, that fatwa is permissible. Tell me. The person who has khashid, he doesn't have fear in that scholar, then he becomes a thief, a big thief, becomes a daku, a bandit, la tufsidu fil fasad, he spreads them. Say subhanAllah. So this khashiyat, this fear, where will you attain it from? Allah says, wadu, when you do the dhikr of Allah, alim, become a scholar. But after become a scholar, shaitan has injected you, you'll become a thief, a bandit. Immediately start doing dhikr of Allah to save. Oh, run quickly to a wali Allah. The save me, Allah has given me a high level, high status, he made me a deputy of the Prophet. The injection of shaitan's coming, I've become mutakabbar, full of proud, a riya, pretense, hazrat, control these sicknesses for me. Whichever scholar goes to a wali Allah, he will become very high level. He becomes Tanwi, Rashid Ahmad Gangohi becomes. Those people became, they ran to Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Haji Sahib didn't have that much ilm knowledge that they had. Haji Sahib didn't write that many kitabs that Tanvi Sahib had written. Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, the fiqh, the jurisprudence, the sheikh, Hazrat Haji Sahib didn't have that knowledge that they knew. But khawf, the fear, he had the injection. Haji Sahib, he created the fear in those scholars, the khashiyat, the fear of Allah came in them, and shaitan couldn't come near to them after that, those students. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. These older tariqas, I'm telling you the methods. Is it benefiting for you to sit here or not? Tell me. Yes, run, become alim, hafiz, scholar, great rank, status. Become such a hafiz after, it says in the Quran, that keep on reciting with your hips and your status will keep increasing. But how do you get there? Well, shaitan stood in between the injection. Soon as you become hafiz, takabbur, pride, ghurur, start earning money, tarawih's here, tarawih's there, gives you the passion. The real purpose of the Quran was what? That when you read the Quran, subhanallah, then every verse you ponder and think that Allah gave me the ability to practice it. Yes, a practicing hafiz, this verse is for. A practicing scholar, these rewards are for. A practicing Sufi, these rewards are. Not just Sufi that you start making taweez and trapping people. No, Sufi is that person who makes the hearts melt and become soft. When he speaks, then he shakes the hearts of the people. Sharia and Sunnah, he injects into the love, into the hearts of the people. That is the Wali Allah. You don't understand what I'm saying? So this smell, Allah has given us nasiha. First of all, la tufsidu fasada, don't commit the sins. And the root cause of all fasad is the sins, and shaitan makes a person commit the sins. Okay, he will enable everybody. After that, gives the cure. Any maqam you reach, any height, run away from shaitan. Do zikr. Allah has told us the maqam of zikr, make your niyah correct. Otherwise, even in zikr, shaitan will tell you, become wali Allah, scholar, you'll do this, people will praise you. No, make your niyah correct. Khawf, develop the fear of Allah. I'm doing zikr for this reason, that I want to develop the fear of Allah. Is that why you do dhikr? So do dhikr with this purpose. Second point, tamah. Tamah, what do we define this as? Greed. Greed. If you become a scholar, you've got greed. You become a hafiz, greed is developed. Become Sufi sub, greed is developed. Become peer sub, greed is developed. For the sake of greed. You become a murid, greed is there. Injection, shaitan gives, isn't it, for all these things. Yes, to finish off the connection. So Allah has broken them. That when you do dhikr of Allah, then khawf of who? That Allah, I don't want you to be unhappy with me. And greed for what? Greed for what? Beautiful point, I'll say, listen carefully. What is here? You should have fear of Allah. That Allah, I don't want you to be unhappy with me. And tamah, you should be, have the greed that Allah stays happy with me. Happy with me. What a great statement that's come out, subhanAllah. Straight away, khawf, Allah, I don't want you to be unhappy, angry with me, and greed, you should be greedy, that Allah want you to stay happy with me. Just one desire, the greatest desire of this for a human being. When you have both desires, Allah says, then remember me, then say Allah. Then say Allah. Then say, all my names are beautiful in your heart, from your tongue, from your qalb, in the darkness, in the light. Lie down and say, sit down and say, wherever you say my name, I will enlighten you, nur ala nur. Qalbi nuron, basri nuron, khalfi nuron, dami nuron, shari nuron. Everything of yours, your heart, your every hair will become nur ala nur, enlightened with the dhikr of Allah. You don't understand what I'm saying? Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Inna rahmatullahi. Then Allah says further, the ayah is concluding. Inna rahmatullahi qareeb. Inna la al-amal muhsineen. Beautiful verse. After saying everything, Allah says, remember one thing, the path is not easy. To get to me is not easy. Inna Allah, inna rahmatullahi qareebul muhsineen. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Allah says, remember that when you start the journey in my path, all the points I've told you, Allah Ta'ala says, then be careful of one thing. Allah says, don't be scared, don't fear, don't be anxious, because the test will start for you. Then hunger will come, poverty, and you think, oh, shaitan will say, do this, do this, do this, and he will make you do all the wrong things, the sins, because you need to, you're living in the world. إِنَّمَا رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. But remember one thing at that time, that whatever servant of mine, Allah says, steps to come towards me, doesn't matter whatever difficulty he's in, distress he's in. Imam Hussein, his neck is going, his children being wiped away, but that one thing, إِنَّا رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Allah says that Allah's promise is there. Doesn't matter whatever difficulty he faces, you, Allah's rahmah always is with those people who have come out on my path and following my direction. So I won't leave this person, Allah says. I will not leave him hungry. I will not give him, I will give distress and worry. But there are two types of worry. One is a worry that was given to Fir'aun. One is the Fir'aun was given to Musa alayhi salam. There's a difference. There's a difference. So don't fear. Don't be anxious. Don't go towards haram. Don't lie. Don't sin. Guna is fasad, evil. Guna is evil. Sin is evil. Yes, that looks, we've got all Islamic countries spread out across the world. What Islamic countries? We've got Kaaba, we've got Medina. But facade of the sin is spread. Big places, and they have come under the trap of facade because of sins. sins. So this is a big nasiha advice of Ramadan, that due to the sins, I'll tell you now, Allah has given us Ramadan to define the sins. Allah gave us Ramadan that learn to shun the sins in Ramadan. That's why Allah gave Ramadan. Inna rahmatan lil qareeb, inna Allah lamal muhsin. Become a muhsin, the doer of good. When you follow Allah's path, Allah, my name is Asif. Then next time, oh, I'm this. And everyone's calling you with a name. As soon as you go into the path of Allah, what does his name become? Muhsin. He becomes the muhsin. Allah gives him the title for that individual. Subhanallah. That Allah loves this person. He's my muhsin. He's following my path. Allah Ta'ala gives him the title. That how beloved servant of mine, he's understood my advices. And akal has come to him, brains, he's following the path. Allah says, Subhanallah. What a beloved servant. I remember, then when I was sat in the mehfil gathering of Hazrat Sahib, big mashayikh, ulama ikram, respected scholars, muftis, and I came in between, jahil person, ignorant person. And my duty was given. I was a simple person. And I was given a duty. Nobody paid attention to me. Then Hazrat Sahib and ushered towards me in my direction. The whole gathering, Hazrat Sahib, pointed me out and said, my darvish, he has started his work. He is on the journey. All of the people turned their necks. What a great statement for everybody. That this, my darvish, my student, he's on the journey. He's immersed in the work, the task I've given to him. He has hit the target. The Allah says in Rahmatullahi, that he is my muhsin, this individual. He is the doer of good. He is my servant. Okay, so will you do this? Yes. Just get onto the track. Get onto the path. That don't commit the sins. That's it. What is poverty, hunger, whatever darjal makes you, alim, scholar, hafiz, qari. Just one thing remember, don't commit the sins. Injection, take the refuge, the protection. You have a need, take the refuge from shaitan. Wadu, go to the wali Allah and learn the dhikr of Allah. Then you'll be saved. Okay? There, you take the action. Time is short. I think there's 3 minutes left. Let's do dhikr of Allah for a short while. What time is it breaking the fast today? 36? Okay. Recite the rusul.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حصلنا وجدنا خطأ عملنا كل سيء اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت من عبد أنت أعلم أنت المقدم ولا إله إلا أنت يا كريم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا تقبل حاصل المجلس ذكر إلى الله تقبل حاصل المجلس يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور ارشيه زيه فرشيه وعلى يسوع اجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله